to the Crystal Joint Podcast. My name is Carl. With me is Wizard of Woo. Wizard of Woo, new week, round two, trying to get this catfish interview in. But guess what? Oh my gosh, the day has arrived. Why don't you introduce our OP guest?
Yes. So after spending literally half the episode last week flaming catfish for no showing, and then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you did it. You pulled the M. Night Shyamalan, and we threw a little twist in there where you were completely wrong. Like you said, you had your senior moment. Yep. We are, super happy to have friend of the show and fellow podcaster, Mr. Catfish, on the show today. Catfish, how are you tonight?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, absolutely. Thanks for coming on the show. And, you know, we were mentioning it beforehand, but we all kind of felt like... you know, we got to honor this episode to Hero, because I feel like if Hero is here, my goodness, would he be having a field day? What do you think of that, Catfish?
I agree. I think Hero was setting this up from the get-go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's kick you off with some of these standard C2J questions. What got you into Clash of Clans to begin with there, Catfish?
You know, before I answer that question... Can we do those intros one more time, just in case Liam's listening? I don't know. He doesn't pay attention to who's who. Sorry. I'll save that for shade outs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Or a little early shade. I love it.
So, yeah, what got me into it? My brother-in-law was playing Clash of Clans from the time that it came out. And me being the cheap guy that I am, I didn't even have a smartphone until right before I got into Clash of Clans. So I as soon as I got one, in work, actually is the one that gave it to me. And that was in like late 2015. So shortly before Town Hall 11 came out, that's when I got in. And it was, you know, cause my bro had been playing it and would always come over and want to show all the crazy things that were going on in the game. So that is when I got into it.
All right. So you said about 2015 ish. When you started, is there any like memories that you could remember? Like, what was Clash like about that time? Do you remember kind of how you started, what the feel of the community was at the time?
So I started, and like any uneducated person that starts Clash, I was like, okay, let me just start upgrading crap. And, you know, rushed up to, you know, Town Hall 5, I think. You know, that's massive back then. That was halfway to max, you know. But then I realized that wasn't quite working, and then started looking around to see what all else was available, and found a couple YouTubers and figured out how to actually play a little bit better, and, you know, started figuring out what was going on. And then all I remember was Town Hall 10 being max, and it seeming like it was impossible. The couple Town Hall 10s that I ran into, there was nothing that they could do. There was no triples at 10v10, right? It seemed like such a goal to aspire to get to, but then thinking, man, once I get there, what am I going to be able to do? Because I'm such a noob. There's no way I'm going to be able to do any good attacks. So yeah, it was kind of crazy back then.
All right. And then, you know, that was still back in the days when it was kind of difficult to have multiple accounts, right? So how many accounts do you have now? And then you got to at least, you know, maybe keep a little bit something behind the curtain here, but because I guarantee you have multiple Town Hall 2s. That's just a guess. You can say what you want, but how many accounts you got? How many of those are Town Hall 2s?
So there's what used to be a valid reason for some of that, but I don't have the actual count of number of Town Hall 2s, but we'll go through, you know, kind of the things that I do end up playing with. I've got the Town Hall 15, the Catfish account. And it's about 6 months behind max, because I took a little bit of a break for a time. So yeah, I'm still behind. I don't have max heroes. I think I just dropped my last mortar, so I'm down to heroes, the pets that I don't actually use, and some walls. So that's why I dropped down out of Legends and have been just grinding walls with sneaky gobs and trying to stay out of Legends now that the stinking new troops are in there. But you know, that's even harder, right? We'll get to that later. But so then I have a Town Hall 13 that is a little bit rushed. It's just my donator account. And so, yeah, I don't have multiple Town Hall 15s. I've got just the one that I devoted my time to. And then I've got the Town Hall 13 that's just a little rushed. And it basically is just there to donate troops to my 15, because I don't have the gold pass anymore. So I can't donate, you know, all of the one gem stuff. And I try to be a little frugal with my medals and all that. So that's what that one's there for. I have an 11 And 11 is one of my favorites just because it's easy. And that one, I kind of bounce around between a couple different clans. There's a fan clan that my buddy Klaus has, and I help manage that. And then I'll bounce out of there when they need more room for different followers and whatnot. I have a town hall 9. Everybody should have a town hall 9. You know, they're fun, right? When you get bored of sitting there trying to figure out how to triple at town hall 15, when you don't have seasoned troops and you really need a confidence boost, you drop down to town hall 9. One of my favorite accounts is actually, it's a town hall 13 that I have upgraded nothing in it except the storages so that I can hold enough loot to upgrade the town hall. I have nothing but barbs and minions. That's it. And, trying to get that to where you can gain enough loot with level one army camps and just barbs and minions and a couple of level one heroes has been interesting. But yeah, that one. Oh, and I can't come to the academy with that one because it doesn't even have a clan castle. So yeah, I have a town hall 13 that doesn't have a clan castle, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You guys still with me? 6, 7, 8 town hall 2s that have clan castles. But the reason behind that I started with those was that Supercell support will not, they won't work with you to try to recover a Town Hall 2. Then actually they bumped that up. It used to be Town Hall 3, and they've actually bumped it up now to, I think, Town Hall 4, where if you try to recover one of those accounts, they just tell you, so sad, you've lost your Town Hall 2, 3, or 4. And I created those. One is just a fun thing to do because you couldn't do it very often back in the day. And two, I would set those as leaders in accounts that we were leaving for a little bit because nobody could try to hack my account back when hacking the accounts, phishing the accounts was a little bit easier. So I had those sitting as leaders in different various accounts. Now I've got them all down in this other little clan that we had some fun with this past week, last month, whenever that was. And there's a couple other tiny little accounts that I have here and there that they're, you know, I basically only play on the 15, the 13 for donations, and in my 11 right now.
All right. Yeah, a couple things to unravel there. Number one, Wizard Woo, is there another clasher in the game that you associate with Town Hall 2 more than Catfish?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
He's like the goat of Town Hall 2, right? He was literally like when Hammer Jam was coming, it was like we're talking about your Town Hall 2 with a clan castle because here comes Hammer Jam. It's time, guys, it's time to drop him. This is your shot. And I was like, this guy is a complete madman. I don't know why you would want to do this, but I mean he is passionate about those Town Hall 2s with clan castles, let me tell you.
And Catfish, you just did a CWL with all Town Hall 2s, correct?
Oh, yeah. Big B came over. There was some other guy that's no longer with us that came over. There was a couple other guys that jumped in. I put the call out to a few guys over in the Klaus Gaming family server, and they jumped in. And I think I put it on Reddit, the Discord, for r/Classic Clans and had another guy come over. So, yeah, it was all Town Hall 2s down in Gold 3. There was two other clans that had all Town Hall 2s, and my goal was just to beat them, and then we didn't even bother, you know, attacking some of the other weeks. I just wanted to beat the other guys that looked like they were tryhards.
Yeah, okay. And then, obviously, you got to talk about your association with Klaus, the YouTuber, because I feel like other than, we're ribbing you a little bit for the Town Hall 2 thing, which I actually think is kind of neat, but I think that's the other thing, is just your association with that YouTuber / like a clan family. Like, you have to, explain if I'm getting that wrong there. How did that come about, and kind of what, it sounds like you still have an active role in the community.
So, like I said, I started playing in late 2015. I think it was like November. Klaus actually started his channel it was like 6 weeks before I started playing. And he was either a 9 or a 10 at the time. He was associated with Boston Tea Party back when they were in the old, you know, CWL. And I was looking for YouTube content for the town hall levels I was at. When he started his channel, he started a brand new account. So here he's got an account that was just about the same level as mine. So when I started hunting YouTube for Clash of Clans TH5 or whatever it was at the time, maybe it was 6, but his channel came up. So I started watching his content because here he was making a series going right along with exactly where I was. So I saw his main account that was doing well and getting picked up in a couple different things. And I thought, well, here's a dude that sounds like he knows what he's doing. And he wasn't completely annoying like some of the old school YouTubers that I was hunting for were. So he had, I think I was around for like the 1,000 subscriber special. It's been since the hundreds of viewers that I've been interacting with him just in YouTube comments, watching his content, and we became friends through that. And even before I came into his clan, he used to stream live on YouTube, and I ended up being one of his moderators on YouTube and chatting with him, and we DM back and forth. And eventually it wasn't even him that recruited me into his clan family. It was Big D, not Big B, Big D is in Delta, that we did a supporter war with Klaus and me and a bunch of our clan. I was actually friends with him because of just, you know, we're all have some similar outlooks on life and similar ways we try to do some things. Mm-hmm. So the bunch of guys in our clan ended up being friends with him, and we ended up, me and Dynamite and Proverbs 31 and Tribe of Judah and Marshman and all these, you know, former podcasters that ended up out of going from one clan over to his clan family. And, you know, we've been around since, like I said, about 1,000 subscribers, and he's up over 500,000 now. Not one of the biggest, and he's not into the esports thing. He's more of the casual farmer. What are you wanting to do? His big thing this year was he started another brand new account at the first of the year and said, all right, I'm only going to do Gold Pass. I'm going to buy Gold Pass every month and like $5. Let's see how far we can get. And that series actually brought in a ton of viewers and a ton of new people that were getting interested in it because of the marketing campaign that Supercell was doing, which may not have been the best marketing campaign ever to those of us that had been around for a while. There was those stupid, you know, the same as all the other mobile gaming commercials that you see. But it was bringing new people into the community, and we wanted to have a nice landing place for those people to come in, and then they can start getting plugged into other places. Once you get past those first couple town halls and realize, hey, I can start either strategic rushing or I can start trying to get into more competitive things and find leagues for the town hall level I'm at. So it's been a nice place for me to just have this cool community where we always wanted to be a place where the parents could come in and pick up their toddler from school and sit down and play Clash of Clans and watch some YouTube videos about it and just be a safe spot for anybody to do that and have some fun. So, but yeah, he runs the Knights of Zion is the big clan. Eden, and that's for Town Hall 15s. Eden's Edge is, you know, a mix. I think we take anywhere between 12 to 15. And he's actually not even really playing in those two clans at the moment because he's focused on his little account that's in, it's a clan called Use Code Klaus that runs, and it takes anything. Like twice a month we'll have a purge, kick people out, and then it's first come, first served, anybody that shows up. And it can be a mess trying to manage a whole bunch of randoms in a clan. But that's where some of these cool bots that we have those suckers manage our Discord server and all this crazy stuff. So yeah, that's a little bit of the story about how I got in contact with Klaus. And we're, like I said, I think I consider us friends because, you know, we chat back and forth in and out of the game. So
oh, nice.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing how many friends that we've gathered over the years, whether it be just be internet friends or even IRL friends, just based on the mobile game. Still baffling to this day, you know.
And how many people avoid me in public when I tell them I play Clash of Clans. Also, there is the flip side to that.
Are you playing any other games right now, whether it be mobile, console, PC, board, card, etc.?
Yeah, so I don't own a console. It's any newer than I think my Wii U, so I'm not playing any console games. I don't have a PC that's worthy of doing anything other than, you know, maybe 2 frames per second on some AAA games. So we're not doing any of those, but I do play mobile games. Mobile games is fun, right? I am a disciple of the power game. Now that's not a guy. Power bang gaming kind of school of thought that mobile's the next frontier for gaming because everybody has one in their pocket. So people used to laugh at it, and now we're seeing these esports arise. Not that Clash of Clans esports is fantastic, but we're seeing these esports things arrive and the esports awards and the mobies and all that. So yeah, I do love some mobile games. The two that other than Clash of Clans that I play right now, is I like PUBG Mobile. it's fun. You know, there's no story, there's no building. You just go in, you shoot people, you get killed, and you're done. I don't have to worry about, you know, how much loot am I saving. I'm just in there, I'm doing a thing, and then I'm done. And then the other one that you guys probably saw, oh, it was almost a year ago now, there were a bunch of Clash of Clans YouTubers that ended up doing bits for a game called Primitive Era 10,000 BC. And all of the Clash of Clans YouTubers picked it up because I mentioned Powerbang. They're all signed under his company that he and Clash with Ash started, AMG, Aftershock Media Group, that does a lot of the, we're going to connect gamers with sponsors so that they can get some ad revenue and all that. So all the Clash of Clans guys picked it up. Anytime one of my friends does an ad, I'll click through, right? Help their click-through rate. And so anytime I see some of these guys that will do one of these and start a clan or a couple of them, because there was one that I played Rise of Kingdoms years ago that, like, there were several of the Clash of Clans YouTubers that had a whole clan going. So I'll click through, help them get their ad revenue and play, and usually it lasts about a week and then I'm done. But I've been playing this Primitive Era for about a year now, and it's stupid. I don't recommend it, but I got sucked in. So it's one of those. Yeah, it's like it's the same thing like Rise of Kingdoms or Game of War, or, you know, it's totally pay to win. Yeah. It's totally pay to win, but there's not as many people on it, so the pay to win scale isn't nearly as bad because it's kind of a small game. So those are the two that I play. But I've played, like I said, Rise of Kingdoms, COD Mobile, Apex Legends. Apex Legends Mobile is actually where a lot of our competitive guys that used to play with us in Knights of Zion in Clash have moved over to playing Apex Legends now. So that's just a couple of the mobile games that I've done.
Okay. Did you grow up video gaming then? Like how did you kind of, was this something kind of that you had all along, that you were kind of like a gamer thing, or was it just kind of more found when you're kind of, you know, later in life?
Well, as a kid, I absolutely, you know, was a gamer with my Atari 2600. That was about it, you know. But yeah, I picked up an Atari somewhere in the mid 80s. I think I had the Darth Vader edition, you know, the little four switches. It was all black. It wasn't actually Darth Vader, but it's cool. You know, that's what they called it. Yeah. It didn't have the wood grain, right? It was all black. And I played a couple of those one button on the joystick games. Moved up to, I was an Atari family. I have no idea why. It's what my dad thought video games were. And so he bought that. And then I had the Atari XE game system, which was like their entry level. It was a PC and a game console. It had cartridges, but it also had floppy drive and a keyboard. Played a lot of Flight Simulator on that one. Like Bug Hunt was their competition for Duck Hunt, because it was the one that was supposed to compete with the Nintendo. And obviously Atari won that one, because you guys have all heard of the Atari XE, right? Nobody's ever heard of the Nintendo Entertainment System. I never owned a Nintendo. My neighbor did. And so he'd come down and woo, just like you, man. The Tecmo Super Bowl, that right there. The 1991 roster, you know, when you had Joe Montana that was actually running the 49ers, not the SNES one when it was Steve Young. But yeah, those were some of the games that I played growing up. And
I'm Vampire Man. Suck away a whole weekend playing
exactly.
That.
We'd spend hours down in the basement. My mom would come down, "You guys ready for breakfast?" We go, "What?"
Yeah, it's breakfast time? The sun's out? What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not really a super gamer. And then eventually, once I moved out, got out on my own, I picked up a Nintendo 64. Okay. When I was in the Army going through training, the guys in the barracks with me had a 64 and a PlayStation 1, and we'd play a few games here and there, but not really a serious gamer.
Okay. Quick question for chat related to your thoughts on Clash coming to maybe PC or other medium, it definitely sounds like you were agree. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you kind of agree that maybe mobile has like a lot of growth area. I know just recently with some of like the big company leaks that some of the companies are trying to put some stake into cloud-based gaming, which is obviously kind of like a polar opposite. Like mobile gaming is like, you know, quite as much, you know, not as much data transfer because you're usually on cellular networks, whereas cloud-based gaming usually is expecting you to have like a good internet connection so you can play, you know, like you're saying, maybe some AAA titles, maybe at lesser settings or something like that. So quick thoughts on Clash to PC, and then your thoughts on kind of the mobile gaming future, so to say. What do you think, Catfish?
opening line of Supercell and say, you shall not play Clash on your PC. It violates the terms of service. Don't do it. should it come? I don't know. The reason that they don't allow it on the emulators at the moment is because it's harder to police cheating. And who, come on, because the esports scene in Clash of Clans is so massive, is cheating really the big deal? I don't know. So mobile games on the PC is easy as long as the game companies don't block the emulators. For instance, like PUBG Mobile, there is an official PUBG Mobile PC emulator, but if you use that, if anybody in your party is using an emulator, it sticks you into emulator only lobbies so that there's not this massive difference in the ability to aim and move with keyboard and joystick as opposed to, you know, on your, you know, whether you're using gyro on the phone or just the screen. And cloud-based, I mean, they've tried that in the past, a couple years ago, right? They tried to do some cloud-based things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite there for everybody, like you said, because of internet connections. If they can figure out how to tone down the amount of traffic that's needed, because we're already using a bunch of traffic, right? If you don't have a solid internet connection with a game that's locally installed, you're getting lag. So having to do it from the cloud and coming up with the way that they're doing virtual machines and not whatnot, it could be done. We're a little inside of what I do in work. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff with cloud based and with virtual machines and taking over the actual host PC and just basically having it be a cloud instance. If game companies move towards something like that, which I don't doubt that they couldn't do it, I certainly see them maybe doing that. That would kind of eliminate some of the cheating aspect that comes with having it all out on a PC. If it's just a hosted virtual machine, and it could help with some of those bandwidth issues, but then, you know, I don't know. I think that a lot of that, cloud and mobile being so prevalent out there, there are definitely places that things are going to be moving in the future. When, you know, who knows how long that'll take.
Yep. Moving on, what gave you the idea to do a podcast?
Oh, the podcast started basically as a bit. And you will find I'm loyal to the bit, right? That's kind of my thing.
Unrelatable. Totally unrelatable to be loyal to
the bit. Yeah. Right.
I think anybody that's a fan of where we're going with After Dark has to be committed to the bit. But, you know, Clash on the Potty, right? Clash on the Potty, Tribe of Judah, Proverbs 31. We were in a clan together for years. Well, Proverbs and I were in a clan together for years. Tribe is a wanderer. Roy Orbison sang a song about him. He just can't sit still. He's got to bounce from clan to clan and start a new one and then get tired. Why am I in leadership? I hate leadership. And then give leadership to somebody else and then be like, hey, you know what? I want to go start a new clan. So he bounced all over the place. Proverbs stuck around with me. And we were in a clan called Guild of Grace for many, many years. And they ended up starting Clash on the Potty because Tribe was a massive fan of podcasts. Me, Clash on the Potty was the first podcast I ever listened to. And it was simply because they posted in, I don't remember if it was in Discord, or we might have not have even had a Discord when that started. It might have just been in clan chat. But they said, hey, we started a podcast. And I was like, oh, hey, I've got a podcast app on my phone. Cool, let's listen to it. And that opened up a whole world of podcasting. Now I'm addicted. I can't believe that I hadn't listened to them before then because I was the guy who, driving to work, was listening to talk radio. And on the way back from work, listening to talk radio, which is essentially all podcasts are, except so much more varied. So they started the podcast, and I was like, okay, this is cool. And then another member of our clan, Marshman, he started a podcast. And then Dynamite, another member of our clan, he started a podcast. And there was a joke in the clan chat about, gee, we're going to get everybody to start a podcast. So that's the bit. Everybody's starting a podcast. I'm going to do one. I was bored. I didn't really have time to do it, but I was like, I've got this hour-long commute to work. And I talked to myself in the car anyway as I'm screaming back and forth with the guy on the talk radio. Why not just record while I'm driving? It'll be a bit. I'll do it for 3-4 episodes to let it long enough to get picked up by Apple, and then it'll be done.
Yeah.
And it didn't end there. It just kept going because of the reactions in the community is what kept it going. You know, I think the day that it got posted, I shared it in our Discord server, in the Clash on the Potty Discord server, and Tribe then shares it all over the place. The first two DMs I got were Knob and C-Note talking about, hey, great show, keep it up. I said, yeah, we'll see. I don't know how long I can keep it up. And both of them were like, no, man, you've got this. Like, okay, now I've got to do it for Knob and C-Note. All right, let's go.
Well, that's so awesome. First of all, let's just go ahead and say this right now, because I know that Knob is typing it right now. I think that was the first official shout out that Catfish has ever given on the C2J podcast, and it goes to Magic Knob. So Magic Knob has now become a trivia question. Thanks a lot, Catfish. Whatever, that's on you. That's on you, brother. You're giving Magic Knob all this credit. I don't know what you got to say about that.
You're going to get mentioned a little bit more later, so be ready for some more trivia coming up.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, that explains why you had the car idea. I mean, hey, you know, your time is valuable. Well played there.
Yeah. It's lazy and low effort. So
there we go.
Perfect.
And it became part of the personality of the podcast, right? Like, if you were to take the driving out after, it wouldn't be the same, right? It was part of the personality. Yeah. And I feel like people would have been upset if you did take it out.
Yeah. And it was, like I said, it started as a bit, and then it was like, all right, we're just going to keep it rolling, right? I'm going to talk to the people in the lane next to me and argue with the trucker that's trying to cut me off, and it'll just be the thing to help provide content. I was kind of sad that I never got rear-ended or pulled over. That would have gave me my creator code.
I used to get DMs and say, you got to listen to 2835, somebody cuts him off, and he has to honk his horn. Like, all those little moments that made it real, that you were really driving, those were like highlights of those episodes. It was great.
And to think I was really in a sound studio is not right.
and the podcast award for sound design goes to
no.
Right.
Yeah, so you mentioned that some of the praise that you're getting and or like the kudos that you're getting kind of kept it going. Did the fact that you made a podcast like change, just the fact that you were a content creator now, did that change your outlook on the game? And then you had these additional social interactions that you might not have had otherwise. Like, did that kind of change how you were playing and how you were envisioning the community and the game?
What I found was people will listen to anything. They will. I mean, if you'll listen to some dude that's rambling on in a monologue style podcast for an hour to an hour and a half, they'll listen to anything. So any of you guys out there that are thinking of doing a podcast, just do it. I mean, that's how, like, when Hero dropped his first one, we're like, wait, where did this come from? Okay, let's go. Yeah. Anybody will listen. And then as soon as you put your name out there and start talking about it in a public forum, people automatically assume that you're an authority or that you absolutely don't know what you're talking about at all, right? Yeah, so I start getting questions about, hey, what do you think of this? And how do you do that? And I'm like, well, I don't know, but I'll give you an answer and tell you this isn't going to work. But as far as changing, I've known, should we do more shout outs? I don't know. But I've known a couple of these guys that speak with the same accent as Knob for years also, because they where is he anyway? But we've known those guys for years because they were hanging around in Clash on the Potty, and then as soon as I start putting out content, man, they're in there, and it's like, hey, now there's even another layer to this friendship that we've been developing. And I think that is the connection that anybody's a content creator gets, is that we as content creators, I don't really consider myself content creators, are in your house or in your ear holes daily, weekly. They don't get to see you, but you see them, and you really get to think that you're a friend to them. And it's the content creators that know how to use that, not manipulate it, but use that in a positive manner, I think is fantastic. And in learning that I had any sort of that kind of influence on people, whether it was on their day, on how they were playing the game, on whatever was going on, if it was just a distraction from real life sometimes, that really kind of changed my outlook on things and the appreciation that I have for the people who really do put in time and effort to making content. Mine was low effort. I'm in the middle of a drive that I've got to do anyway, so let's ramble The original Ramble Damage. Thank you very much. that is copyright Catfish Gaming. I did anyway.
Bazinga. Yep.
But that's, you know, like I said, with my friend Klaus, I was watching him every day. He didn't know who I was except for mm-hmm. comments, and it you know, moved on from even that. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's definitely changed the outlook that I've had on those kind of friendships.
And then obviously we can't not ask if you will ever don the podcast hood again.
Well, I don't know. I'm helping at this moment in time to, I don't know if I want to say produce. I'm a guy that's uploading an audio file for another podcast, and I have no other thing other than I was the guy that knew how to upload a file because I've setting stuff up in the past. Mm-hmm. And that's about enough for me. And if I were to do one, I'm not sure what I would do. I considered, after sunsetting Clashing in Traffic, I thought about trying to do something that was more broadly looking at mobile gaming. But that means I've got to learn how to play 1,000 mobile games and be able to speak intelligently
right.
on Sounds all these like things. Work. I just don't have the... Yeah, that was going to be a job. And I thought, I don't like the job I have now. Why would I want another one? So,
right.
Oh, my gosh.
So true.
All right. Okay, time to hit you with the hard-hitting questions here. Do you attack with one hand or two?
All right, this is where some trivia is going to come in later, so you guys have been paying attention to me.
All right.
Think about some of this, because one of my producers is going to be the answer to a question later. One hand or two. I play with two hands, two fingers, and two thumbs.
And okay. That comes no from, toes, no feet?
Yeah. No, but I have deployed troops with my nose before. Just yes.
Oh my
all right,
gosh!
All right,
bring it a new level. Do you clash on a tablet or maybe a small itty bitty phone like Magic Knob does?
I started on an iPhone 5S, and I have been team phone ever since. And that's mostly because I'm like I said, I'm frugal. I waste my money on some areas, like coffee, and I don't spend money on other things, so I don't even own a tablet.
Oh, wow. Okay. A little precursor for coffee. I know some people had some coffee things in here. I'm sure that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Marvel or DC?
I'm loyal, right? I'm loyal to things that I have a connection with. And when I was about 8 years old, a friend of my dad's brought over a guy by the name of Ron Frenz. Does anybody know who Ron Frenz is? Ron Frenz, he was the guy who started he worked for Marvel. He inked Spider-Man. He was the guy that introduced the black suit Spider-Man, the symbiote. I met him when he was inking Thor. He came, his wife was doing an art project for my mother as a gift. And he showed up, sat at my kitchen table, brought some Thor comics and signed them and drew me and Thor together. And I've been a Marvel fan ever since. Even when Ron Frenz left and was the guy who, he did Star Wars and did Superman. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to talk about some of what he did with Superman later on in After Dark. But yeah, that's where I became a Marvel fan and have been ever since.
All right. Who can argue with that core memory?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I remember sitting at my kitchen table, like, who's this guy? And then he whips these things out and just starts drawing Thor. And I was like, oh my word.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am a DC fan. You know, Adam West came to Christmas one year. I kind of can't go away from Batman at this point. You know, it's one of those things. Oh, you know, sorry. Sorry, Marvel.
Yeah.
Pineapple on pizza, good or gross?
If the mood is right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, sometimes, but I haven't had pineapple on a pizza in many years.
That's because you're an adult. So there you go. Your favorite Star Wars movie?
All right, so this is where the trivia comes in. I'm going to answer this because nobody else is on there, but does anybody remember the two producers that I talked about? I had in like the first or second episode, I talked about my producer, Sparky. Sparky was, it's actually the name of my car because I drive a little teeny tiny fuel efficient for my hour-long drive Chevy Spark. So, you know, I'm massive in the car game here. And then the other producer was Cassian. Who's Cassian? He is a pilot in which movie? Rogue One, mm-hmm. because I also drive a Nissan Rogue because of being a fan. So yes, I have to say Rogue One is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go back, I could rank these suckers and it would, you know, we could go all day, right? Talking Star Wars. Mm-hmm. If we go nostalgia, it's Return of the Jedi, simply because that's the first one that I was actually old enough to remember seeing in the theaters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if we go Star Wars, I don't want to say New Hope, because that one sucked. Han shot first. Star Wars.
All right.
Han did shot, yeah, shoot you're not first. Gonna, I'm sorry. Yeah. He's 100% right. No argument here.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Okay, Coke or Pepsi?
Always Coke.
Ooh.
I mean, we win. We win.
Yep.
Okay.
Coke's 2-0.
Yeah, mic drop. Shirt on or off the mow the lawn?
So you guys remember, what was Big B's answer? He said that he paid somebody to mow his lawn, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I actually get paid to mow mine with my shirt on because the neighbors don't want to see that. That's there all there go. Is. Nobody wanted to see all that, so shirt on.
All right. What Harry Potter house would you be sorted into?
So should I ask you guys what you think? Which house you think I'm in?
Gryffindor. I think you're a Gryffindor.
Yeah. Yeah. I say Gryffindor.
I mean, I talked about being loyal. I laid you guys out breadcrumbs.
That was kind of a slam dunk. Yeah.
I'm the Ron Weasley, though. If I'm in Gryffindor, I'm the Ron Weasley that was supposed to be in Hufflepuff. And that's where they put me.
Oh, no.
Okay. But in Gryffindor, because he was brave enough to say, I want to be.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And we got CF9 live in chat. So Resident Evil or The Last of Us?
All right, so this is based purely on video game, because I'll be honest, I've not seen any of the movies related to these.
Okay.
And there's only one of them that I've really played, kind of, and it's another one of those memories that just sticks out to me. I was in Fort Gordon, Georgia, going through training in the Army, and we had a PlayStation 1 in the barracks, and my buddy's sitting there, it's after dark, everything's shut down, and he's playing Resident Evil. And he's one of these big, you know, macho dudes. And those stinking Dobermans jump through the windows. And I have never heard somebody scream like a girl so loud in their life. So Resident Evil all the way. Simply because a buddy of mine nearly wet himself playing that game.
Yeah, them early horror games caught people off guard quite a few times.
It was so funny. Yeah. And then they jumped through a second time and he screamed again. I mean, like, controller across the room. It, like, come on, bro.
Nerd. Yeah.
All right. We got a couple of questions from the listener. So we solicited questions, and I had to at least on most of these get names, because I know that they'll be disappointed if they didn't get their shout out for the catfish question. So Nob is asking, what are some of your favorite and least favorite memories while playing Clash?
Interestingly enough, many of my most memorable moments actually involve Nob. And I got to thinking about that, and it wasn't even on purpose, but I was like, you know what? He was kind of involved in that. And yeah, if he was, oh boy, no. Okay. So Nob is just, he's OP. OP Nob. Yeah, so memorable. The Ace incident, and I'm not talking about Scotty Ace, but, you know, OGs will remember Ace. The Ace incident when Nob and I were over in COTP Plebs and somebody had to get booted and C2J was like, told you so.
yeah. I remember that. I think I made a meme about that. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yes, you did.
It was the astronaut meme. Yeah. It was the astronaut meme. Wait, Ace is toxic? He's never been toxic, you know? Yeah.
I mean, Catfish, maybe you can give a good third party impression on this, because numerous times over the years, we've been told that we're kind of like the first filter of all these clashers. Like, they always come to us first because they think they can be the most degenerate, and then eventually we've had enough, we ban them or kick them, and then they move on to the next podcast community, and then, you know, they act a little bit nicer, but eventually their true colors show. Was that a reputation that we got? Because I've certainly been hearing that a lot lately.
That doesn't make sense to me, because I mean, you have the E on your podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it's not the G rated. And to come into the C2J and, you know, be a rabble-rouser and try to cause drama and whatever, and then think you're going to jump over to, like, Clash on the Potty, where we talk about religion on the podcast and about homeschooling our children and all of the, and you're going to come over there and think that you're going to get away with even more? I, it doesn't make sense, man. But
yeah, it's wild, hey, right?
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay, is there any more of Knob's ego that you want to pump in on this? Like, are you still going to keep going? Or
yeah, so he was related in that one because, you know, he and I were over in, like I said, COTP plebs, and he and I were constantly giving each other the leader role back and forth. Like, I would dump it on him and then, like, leave the clan and then go, oh, crap, I've got a war attack, I got to go back. And then Knob would admit, he's like, oh, Catfish is back in, leader. And he'd leave, and it was like... Nobody wanted to be leader of that place. I wonder if it's still around. I should go find out who's leader now.
Careful. You dip your toe in there, you might be leader.
Yeah. Dip my what?
Ew. Oh, no. Dip your toe.
How dare you?
You know your toe?
Dare you, sir. Ban hammer.
Any chance I get. I'm sorry. Any chance I get.
And then, like I said earlier, you know, he was like one of my first DMs after starting, and that was a great memory. Like, starting that off... and getting the DMs and doing all that. Another great memory was all of a sudden I'm on a live stream with my, you know, watching my friend Klaus, who I didn't know he knew who I was, and all of a sudden I'm looking like, where are all these new buttons? Oh, I was promoted to moderator. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then I immediately banned Dynamite, so that's just the thing that we do.
That's the mod's first action always, is like, let's see how this ban button works. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Other memorable was the Shade War with between me and Hero. That was just fantastic. Like the clan who shall not be named, and the you know, the stuff with Hero and his story, and that was awesome. The way that Hero was able to roll with that, and just we had fun with that one. Promoting you guys, you know, similar thing, promoting our clan to champs too, and having so many people on live voice chat as that last war is going down. And it sounded, you know, we did it, you guys have done it twice now, and your last recap of how that happened was so similar. I got all those feels again of like, you're all on there in voice, you got that one last hit to go, and all you got to do is something that isn't really, you know, easy, but it's possible. And just watching that last building go down and everybody just erupting and freaking out, I'll never forget that one. And then one of the best moments ever, August 7th, 2021. Yeah. That's the day that Carl's Rejects beat.
There it was.
Filthy tryhards. Yeah.
There it was. I was waiting. I was like, it's got to be coming sometime.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh my gosh!
I felt so happy for Knob.
He and still talks about it today.
We talked about it in chat so many times because I was a reject myself. I went to my clan and was like, "Hey guys, they're doing this thing. I want to get a team together. Awesome, Catfish. Let's do that." Oh, by the way, you're not on the team. Like, wait a minute, it was
you're on team B. Yeah. Relegated instantly.
Yeah. And then they're bringing in ringers from, oh, this guy hasn't been in the clan for 2 years, but we're gonna have him come over. I'm like, that, okay, that made sense, he was awesome, but you know.
Right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hammer wants to know if you're ever going to put on a Army versus Navy war.
So we talked about that many years ago, and then, you know, everything fell apart. I'm terrible at doing events. I tried to do a couple of them, and I think the only one that we almost successfully pulled off was the Tribe of Judah retirement war, right? Because we all know how retirements work.
Yeah.
That we're going to try to pull him out of retirement. Yeah. And who was it? Was that Liam that messed that one up too? No, that was Clash Livin'. That was Clash Livin' that messed that one up.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's done that a couple times too. Yeah.
I'm terrible at doing events, but if Hammer wants to be another captain, I would love to do it. Army Navy game this year is December 9th. So that's going to be Saturday. You know, it's the last regular season college football game of the year. And obviously, I'm Team Army. Go Army, beat Navy, despite who my employer has been the last 20 years. I wear my Army jersey to work the Friday before the Army Navy game, and I take crap for it because there was like 12 years in a row where we lost. And they would start talking crap, and I'd say, you let us score, so who's worse? Come on. But yeah, I would love to. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at running them, but maybe we'll try to get something together. I don't see him in chat, but I know he still listens because I saw the DMs or I saw the messages. So yeah, we'll try to put something together.
All right. Rick wants to know, this is from Rick. You took a quote unquote done forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Voldemort.
Yeah. You took a done forever stance when you quit. What brought you back?
I had a pretty, it sounded like a done forever. I had some issues with some decisions that were made by the company that runs Supercell. And it was something that was hitting at a time in my life where Clash was getting a little bit too big and having way too much of a foothold. And I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And it kind of, I realized, one, I needed a break from the content creation, even though it was low effort and lazy content creation. I needed a break from getting, not even a break from getting into Clash. It was, you know, the AA meetings where you know that you've got a problem and you got to figure it out. So I had to step away from that. And the decisions from the company just didn't jive with the way that, that I was living. So that was, like I said, straw that breaks the camel's back. Did I say like I said enough? Is it two or not? I don't remember. I'm trying to keep track. And what brought me back, though, that kind of leads into some of the story of the reveal and all that, but we'll go into that a little later. What brought me back was the friends, though. I saw the news about Hero and was just, you know, devastated, one, by that, and for the friends that we have here. And here it was a guy that at one point I really looked up to. Hero called me out on some crap when I was maybe being a little bit too sensitive, a little too narcissistic, and he wasn't afraid to call you out on it. And I'm like, you know what, you're right, bro. Let me tone down my attitude here a little bit and just try to enjoy what's going on. And hearing that, just, it hit me. It hit me hard. I know it hit you guys hard. And then looking at, one, this community that you guys have, Crystal to join, you guys had, within the scope of about a year, you had two guys that had passed away, right? Because there was a Big Blake, mm-hmm. And then Hero. And looking at how everybody in that community, you rallied around each other, you tried to lift up the people that were most impacted. And it hit me, and I needed to come back to at least say, you know, pay some respects to our friend Hero. The way that we were able to get that war and all that going and matched up, I love that, you know, the way that it all worked out. And that was kind of a catalyst to, you know, mending some of the bridges that we thought we had burned, I guess. So that's what it was friendships. Now I still have not spent a single dime on the game since coming back. I'm completely free to play, no gold passes, which makes it tough to catch up after being gone for 6 months, which is why I've still got a ways to go. And I needed to not have it be the main part of my identity, right? I was starting to get so wrapped up in it, and I was like, this isn't my full-time job. It's never going to be. So I need to focus on job and family and get those things to be better prioritized. Because we've got a lot of big things going on in our family right now. So I'm glad that I'm not spending quite as much time doing Clash. I still play enough, I think, to be, you know, not like some of the podcasters out there who don't actually play the game. But that's for shade outs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and Catfish, I got to tell you, you know, Hero and I talked about your retirement, your stepping away on the podcast. And we both really felt the same way, which was you and along with Tribe and Proverbs have had such a positive influence in so many people's lives that play Clash. You know, and you guys cross paths with all these people that play Clash. That we both agreed we did not want to see you guys quit, and I completely understand the position that, you know, that you had and where you were coming from, and I agree with people who take a stand for what they actually believe in. And then you sit back and go, it's kind of like me in football. Like, I stopped watching football for like 5 years because I hated my team and all that stuff. But then, like, I missed out on, like, but then I missed out on, like, me and my wife spending time together doing fantasy football and all those extra conversations that we would have about stuff. And it's just like, it's something that you bond over that you miss out if you step away. And that's the tragedy that I saw in the whole situation. So I'm glad that you were able to find a balance to that and find a way back, because I think the community needs people that have that positive influence for sure. You have to balance out Crystal to join in some way, all the negative crap that we do. So we got to have some yin and yang here.
Oh my God. So you briefly mentioned it too, the Hero Memorial War. I mean, we can't thank you enough, because that was just, I don't know if there could have been a better closure for what you getting everyone together, having the idea, matching us on a rant. Like, it's just, I can't even, like, I'm going to cry talking about it, but like, it was just like so perfect. It was like one big party all together. And it meant so much to me. I just walk us through just real quick, Catfish, about that whole just rush of days and emotions and everything leading up to it.
I was trying to keep it on the definitely listen or the down low. I don't remember. I was trying to keep it kind of under the radar and just go about trying to match. And I was watching y'all server to see who was signing up, and then trying to find, okay, how can I get enough of the town hall 15s or 14? Well, I don't even remember what we had at the time, but trying to find enough. And I reached out to the organizations that were involved in that, that just said, absolutely, we don't know Hero, but we know that a member of the Clash community was hurting, and we're absolutely on board. Because we had folks from Aphelion Esports that were in there. We had Quantum's Realm, which is one of the largest and oldest Clash of Clans communities that are out there. We talked about me and my Town Hall 2s, and anybody that's more associated with Town Hall 2s, there's a guy, his name is Master on Clash. I posted his info in y'all's server a while back, and I know that I saw Big B's name on there, but his house burned down, and they lost everything in the house. I think he said there was just like two or three things that they were able to save from it. He's another guy that is very heavily associated with Town Hall 2s. He and I, we go back and forth anytime these things come out, because the trivia that we both have on those Town Hall 2s is we have Town Hall 2s with Clan Castles and has that Golden Dragon achievement. So if you can figure out how that happened, that's cool. But you can't do it anymore. But he's part of Quantum's Realm, was one of their, kind of like one of their community managers, if you can call it that, because there's so many in Quantum's that I said, hey, Master, could you send a few accounts? And he literally knows what the maximum number of accounts that you can have associated to one device, because he has more than will fit on two devices. That's how many accounts this guy has. We talk about C-Note and his addiction. Mm-hmm. Master is crazy, and he's a postman. So I don't know where he's getting all this money to do this. It's what keeps him from going postal, I guess. But yeah, getting all of those people involved and saying, hey, at the last minute, I need, because you guys switched something on the roster at the last minute. And I was like, crap, I need this, this, and this. Can we swap these guys in? Can we swap those guys out? And getting people to actually move. You know how hard that is at CWL time, when everybody already knows, hey, you need to go to this clan. You need to go to this clan. We've talked about it for weeks. Why are you doing it when we have 5 minutes left to spin? But getting everybody there at the right time. And I think we finally let it slip that we were trying to do that. And it when it worked, I had tears come rolling down my face when that finally matched. I saw the names, and it was fantastic. And I wish I remembered to write this one down. It was Trample. I left up that Heart Hero base is my war base, and nobody would attack it except Trample damage attacked it with all heroes and heal spells.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and watched the replay of that, and I just was like, okay, all right, that's what this was supposed to be about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Beyond amazing. I don't know if it could have worked out better even if we tried.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Polar opposite type of question here. Is pumpkin spice coffee acceptable? Is pumpkin spice flavor an acceptable thing for coffee? Floor is yours, Catfish. Go ahead and light the fires.
No. I am of the drink what you like. Right? If it tastes good to you, if it makes you happy, awesome. Drink what you like. at the same
time, Sanka.
Right, at the same time, what you like to drink might make somebody else happy by laughing at it. So I'm pretty sure that Carl said one of his, you know, I don't remember which episode it was. It was a few back talking about favorite seasons, and it got mentioned about pumpkin spice. And Carl's like, yeah, so I can make pumpkin spice jokes. That makes us happy. Big B, drink all those pumpkin spice lattes you want. If you run into all those pumpkin spice Karens, awesome. But I'm posting a picture in chat right now. This is the shirt that I'm wearing right now that says drink black coffee. I can't see myself on the thing, right?
Yeah.
I like my coffee to taste like coffee, but it better taste like good coffee. But same with beer. I drink these really hoppy, bitter beers, or like me and my buddy Knob, we drink sour beers. There's people that don't like those. Go ahead, drink all the Bud Light you want. I won't judge much,
but you will laugh.
But I will laugh, and that makes us both happy. There you go. Drink what makes you happy.
Pumpkin cream ice chai tea latte apparently is Big B's favorite pumpkin spice beverage of choice. So there we go. Everyone
sounds like a milkshake, Big B.
Dessert.
What the heck? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Crystal toe TOE join. Okay. I mean, just go for it. Like, just. I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, that's all I'm gonna say. Just
about it say, makes me cringe, say stuff. But
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
So I'm. If you guys didn't listen to the reveal show, Carl talked about the Vandalay Industries Discord server that's still out there. I can send you, you know, invites. It's got some of the written story about it. But I was sitting on the couch watching something with my wife one night. And we rarely watch live TV because it's usually we must have been watching a football game, because that's about the only thing that I watch with commercials. Because usually it's streaming or I record it on DVR and fast forward through commercials. But commercial comes on. So, hey, time to clash, right? Pick up the phone. I'm starting, you know, do something, see if I can get a raid in. And all of a sudden I hear this voice, sounds vaguely familiar, talk about joining Uber One because she doesn't want to go back to having to sell pictures of her feet on the internet. And I like looked up and my wife goes, what the heck? And Sarah Silverman's going, and how would I even do that? I'm like, oh. And so then she says, find out at bignaturaltoes.net. I was like, ugh. And then I immediately was like, oh, Carl would hate that.
Oh my God.
I've got to send this video in and like send the... Gosh. I've got to send the link, and that link actually gave you a not that I know, I didn't click on it, but it gave you like
you heard
10%. I heard it from CNote. Yeah, it gave you like a 10% discount or something on joining. I think it was Uber One. Is that the one that you do, Clash Fan 9? Are you one of those bignaturaltoes.net, you know, Uber One people? So I was like, I've got to share that, right? Because like I said in the story, when you smell something that stinks and you're like, smell this, it stinks. That's the way that I felt. I was like, somebody else has to suffer through this.
Oh my God.
who else is like feet? Yeah. Carl, okay, so we're gonna go in here, we're gonna drop this. But I thought, I've had a rocky relationship with the C2J Discord server in the past.
No.
There may or may not have been some bands that I didn't even know about one at the one time, and I went to say something to Hero and was like, wait a minute. Where the heck is the freaking server?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that, oh, yeah, that was one of the times that Hero and I had one of our discussions, and I didn't leave looking very too good on that one. But I was like, all right, we're going to do this. And again, I'm committed to the bit, and I'm also committed to puns. I don't know why. It's the lowest form of humor, right? But puns. And I'm like, I've got to create an account to drop this into Crystal to join. I think I started typing Crystal to join and went toe. Oh, that's it, you know, because toes. So we create the account. I drop it in, and it was just going to be we're going to drop the link in and let it go. I don't think anybody even noticed that there was a link to a website that said anything about toes. Everybody was immediately like, oh, look at this, Crystal Toe Join, ha, 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 and laughing about the name. I thought, okay, it's the flavor of the month in Crystal to Join. Cool, we're going to let it ride for just a minute and see what happens, and then we'll delete the count and go. And then the next day, I log on, and I almost outed myself. I thought this is how I got outed, was I start seeing other accounts join. I was logged in to the Catfish account, and I see ToeJ Simpson join the server, and it I laughed, and I hit the little, you know, the stupid thing in the welcome channel where you hit the wave and it sends the little gif of the everybody hopes for the angry peach. Why the angry peach? I don't know. But I hit it from the Catfish account and immediately was like, oh crap, now they're gonna know it's me. And if I try to delete it, that's gonna be sus. So I just left it. And I log back into the Toe account. The Toe account. I can't believe I'm saying that. But I log back in, and I see that, and then somebody's like, I don't know if they were thinking it was if C-Note and Carl were the two that were behind it. I don't know if they were thinking it was Woo. Were you on? Yeah, you were on with Hero at that time, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if they were thinking it was you two.
Hot topic.
Yeah, but somebody
there were so many theories floated. It was out of control.
I mean, somebody thought everyone, it was one of you
it was
four.
Like, it was like Clue, okay? It was like everyone was a suspect. Everyone tried to prove an alibi. Other people were always backdooring other people and exposing them and casting doubt. Like it really was like a giant game of Clue. Yeah, it was great.
So people were thinking it was one of the four of you guys or two of the four of you guys. Yeah. ToeJ Simpson joins and everybody's like, oh, that's definitely C-Note or it's definitely whatever. So I log back into Toe and I hopped on and I was like, hey, ToeJ, you down for recording an episode? Trying to bait somebody else out, right? It's like, you down for recording an episode tomorrow night? Yeah. And his reaction, his response to this, I remember some of the stupidest things, like it's just the way that my mind works. I remember some things that I've seen letter for letter, can picture it in my head, and other important things I completely forget. Just ask my wife or my boss. But I said, you down for recording an episode tomorrow night? And his response was, oh, absolutely. And I thought, I have seen one other person say those two words in that order as a response to something five or six times. It's Green Arrow. So I asked him then, how's the weather in Adelaide? And he's like, oh, no, you've got that. Somebody gave you the wrong information. Who did ToeJ Simpson end up being? It was Green Arrow. And if you go, I don't know if that's one of the channels that got nuked. But if you go back and find where he joined, I put a green square and an arrow under as a reaction under that because I knew it was Green Arrow from the get-go. And he denied it, and eventually, you know, found out that that's what it was. So, it became the bit. I was like, it's the flavor of the month. This is the thing that we're going to do. Okay, I'll wait and try to maybe do something for a reveal. Mm-hmm. So then a week or two go by. And Hero and Woo, you guys were recording, and I wish I couldn't find the episode. I tried to go back and listen to it, and I couldn't find it because I was going to use that soundbite for the little teaser trailer that got dropped. I don't know where that came from. But you guys were live recording, and I just happened to be free, so I was like, I'm gonna hop in to the live recording, and if they see me and are like, okay, maybe they'll want to, you know, bring me up on stage and we can do the reveal then, whatever. So I'm sitting there as Crystal Toe join, and Hero is welcoming all the people that are listening live and says, oh, and Catfish. And you guys go off on, oh, this is why it's Catfish. And you were spot on, right? You called it. Hero was talking about, you know, Catfish is the only one that would know how to figure out how to set up the voice changers. And Woo, he's the one that really... the brains here, because you were like, all these memes that are getting posted are falling into the PG realm. That would really fit with Catfish's demeanor. And I thought, what am I going to do now? Because I'm not going to step up into any. Can't have that associated with the. I've got to try to maybe go PG-13, but I was like, dang it, Woo liked my memes. But he called them PG. So that was one of the highest compliments, was when you talked about the good memes, and it was one of the funnest parts of C2J history. And I was like, okay, all right, we've done it. But then the game was, we've got a trick Hero. So I didn't even say anything about it, right? It was like, I let it go. And eventually a couple days go by and Tribe of Judah listens to the episode. And then he pings me in the COTP server and pings Hero, and he's like, Hero, I don't know, Catfish didn't say anything to me, but it could be him. To which then I deflect, and I was like, well, see, ToeJ, TJ, that's Tribe of Judah, right? You know, try to deflect off the tribe. That didn't work. But deny Hero asked me, he's like, are you toe? And I was like, why would you say that? I never said no. I never straight up lied no.
Yeah.
I deflected as much as I could.
Deflect, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what it was. It was great. Like, okay, it'll be the bit.
Yeah.
I'll reveal it, but then it had to be, let's trick Hero. And then I was going to let it go, and then that's of course when Hero passed. So mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want the focus to be on me now. That needs to be completely off of me and back onto him. And that was one of the things I was doing to, you know, kill time, because I wasn't playing Clash anymore. So I was toe. It was fun. But yeah. Then I start seeing all the other people, Rick and Duck, arguing back and forth about it's Rick, it's Duck, it's Rick, it's Duck. So I make accounts over on Reddit and start posting things. And then Carl says he's got
somebody going after him. There was a Twitter account.
Oh yeah, there was. That's where all the memes got. There was Twitter. I was on Discord, and there was a Twitter account.
There was a Twitter account. It said the location was Australia or something like that.
Oh yeah, but... yeah. The Twitter account. And so Big B said he was trying to track me down. Right, he was going to use his expertise. Skills. Right. Well, one of the things I was doing at the time was taking some classes on digital forensics and working towards this certification and whatnot. And I had to put these things into test of like. How do people try to fool forensics? And then how do you overcome doing that? So I'm like, all right, yes, Big B, I logged into VPNs and I created the Twitter account from an IP address in Adelaide, Australia. I think it was the IP address of some, it was like a paver making company or something like that. The Reddit account was created in Canada, and it actually, the Reddit account, you know, avatar, not the famous avatar of the Tolem, but the avatar was like it was when the World Cup was going on, so they were giving away free World Cup uniforms for avatars. So mine's wearing a Canadian flag. But those accounts were, and there's an email address. Ask Knob, he got an email from Crystal Toe Join when he doxed himself about one of his betting things.
Oh my
but,
God!
Yeah, all of those. All of those accounts
I posted his Facebook shit in leader chat, so he. I've doxed him.
You talked about people trying to pull EXIF data. I literally went in and adjusted the EXIF data a lot of these things to try to place them in places where I was like, okay, I know that so and so is about this place, so I'm gonna make. There's something that was made in Chicago, because we talked about Moose earlier, right? Because I posted a meme of Moose. That's interesting. I was trying to do all these things, but it was really, some of it was fun, but it was really also kind of educational for me, because I was trying to figure out how people do these things and how do you figure out if somebody has done that, and it was all for part of my professional career. So that was it was interesting.
Infotainment, everyone.
I did not bill any tow hours back to my employer. Don't worry about that. It was all done off book. But it helped me with some forensics things that I was working on.
We had a professional hiding evidence while we also hired a professional who's good at investigating. So we had both professionals on both ends.
I will ask, which of us knows more about the other? Me knowing about Big B, or Big B knowing more about me? And it's scary what you can find on the internet.
Oh, no. The look Big B has right now, I'm like, uh-oh.
I'm even going to one up. Monday, Big B.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know where Big B is, too.
Oh, my goodness gracious. allegedly
you can allegedly yourself.
allegedly. Oh, here, the first time the Hero ever mentioned trying to figure out who it was, the first ever DM was, it's got to be Catfish. And I was like, you really think so? Like, so Hero, that was the very first thing he ever sent me, is it's Catfish. And I was kind of like, maybe, like, I was like, what about these people?
Magic Knob in chat talking about being that the toe joined a Twitch stream that made him think it was Cat.
Yes.
I tried. It worked. Yes. I think it was a marble thing. What the heck was that? Marbles?
I'm anyway. Still an anti-marble.
I don't get it.
No, me either.
Oh my gosh.
You talk about low effort. You want to talk about low effort content. Jeez. I mean, that's bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hiro told me straight up, like, the first time, we talked, like, before an episode, and he was like, oh, yeah, we got to talk about this Crystal Toe stuff. He's like, dude, it's catfish. It's 100% catfish. I'm like, you think so? I mean, he was on it from, like, the absolute jump. So, yeah. It's good to know that he was right. He was right all along. And, you know, so people tried to throw smoke, you know, and like, get people off, you know, off the trail. You know, and people tried to take credit or blame other people because it was, you know, everything was getting batted around. And he would entertain, he would indulge in some theories, but he always came back to, like, that core of, like, I'm pretty sure this is catfish. Yeah.
Was there any other signature C2J moments, good, bad, or indifferent? Feel free to throw shade as you wish. You know that we can take it. That you can remember that stuck out in your memory?
So I had to go back because you guys did a top five C2J moments a while back, and that I think was either the first or second of the, you know, nobody asked for Catfish's opinion, but here's my top five list anyway. which I can't believe more people aren't doing that. You guys put all this effort
as
part of this, and nobody's continuing the bit. Get better, guys. Let's do this. Come on. but we've already talked about some of them. So I think my five was C2J getting to say, I told you so, about Ace Curry Troll. Four was Coke always winning. I mean, I don't drink soda, but I'm still a Coke fan. Three was the epic run by the OP leader Green Arrow to lead C2J to champs 2.
That's right.
Two was Knob, you know, in August 7th, 2021. And then the number one thing, which these guys aren't even. They aren't even C2Jers, but getting to play Rick and Duck like marionettes, that just, each of them thought the other was the toe. They were all arguing back and forth. I had DMs from both of them. I think I might have even gotten DMs from them on my Catfish account asking about if I had any insider information. I thought Duck figured it out because he sends me a DM and tells me to stop fishing with the PH and then corrects it to be with an F. And I was like, oh, maybe Duck's gone to me, but I don't even know. But those two were going at it. And that's what kept it going on. Duck, searching through Reddit and finding references to Toe talking about witches, which then he then starts pointing at C-Note. And I had to go back and delete a whole ton of Reddit stuff because the problem that you run into when you have multiple accounts is you forget which one you're logged into. And I had a couple Reddit accounts, but I would respond to people asking for help about Town Hall 11. And I literally on my phone have a note with a copy paste about, you don't need anything other than golems and witches. Just get those up. You can rush from Town Hall 9 to Town Hall 11, figure out how to do Zap Witch and just roll through everything. Mm-hmm. So copy paste, respond to somebody that's asking for help, literally just trying to answer somebody's question and be helpful. And they found that and said, Toe likes witches. It's got to be C-Note. And I thought, oh, crap. If they actually search for the whole thing, they're going to see it all from me and, three or four Reddit accounts that all had the same thing. But they all tied back to me. So I had to go delete a bunch of comments because that one almost hit a little too close to home when I was trying to play those two off of each other. But, that was hilarious to me, was playing those two guys off of each other in the C2J server on Reddit, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Getting a DM from somebody investigating, asking for your help, that's like asking the murderer to go help you find the body. Like, what in the world? These are not master detectives. And we didn't have our best on the case. What can I say?
Yeah, well, they were like, hey, you're in cybersecurity. Do you think that this is possible? I'm like, yeah, probably. I'm sure I can figure it out. Why don't you let me look into it, and I'll see what I can do.
It's amazing. Oh, my gosh. We got freaking CSI Reddit over here.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
Yeah. I would – we got to get your hot take on 10 all 15. Maybe tell me, you know, we're about a year in – two-thirds of the way there, like, success, not excess? Are you going to look back on this lovingly? Do you like 14 better? Just, how's 15 treating you?
Because we all got those lava loons, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Town Hall 15 sucks. I started 6 months behind. Well, I started 3 months behind, right? I think I came in I quit like 3 months before Town Hall 15 came out, and then it was 6-8 months after that I came back. So I'm playing catch up, and there's weeks where I have a lot of success. I had one CWL that one of my first ones that I came back, and I don't even know that I two-starred all of them. I did terrible. And then I figured out how to do something. I don't even remember which army it was. And then came back the next CWL, and I had the most stars in the clan. And I'm like, guys, what the heck? How is this happening? Because I've been away and don't even have max heroes. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have the new pets. And what's going on? And then I got a little too cocky. And flew too close to the sun on Wings of Pastrami, right?
There
and
we
it
go.
All fell yep. apart.
Just turn the TV on. Yep.
So it is hit or miss, mostly miss. But I've come to accept that if I get a 70% two-star, I am doing okay. Mm-hmm. And looking and seeing that there's a lot of people that are a lot of us, filthy casuals, that's just what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be a tryhard anymore.
Well, there we go. Okay, so we are in the Halloween season. Clash has a pretty amazing theme, in my opinion. They added a new temporary resource in the Sour Elixir, a brand new rewards track that's amazing to me. Like, they have a new rewards resource. There's regular magic items you can get, so you can see multiple progression across. So you have the regular, gold or silver pass. You have this new season pass. I absolutely love everything about this. I wish they would have done stuff like this a long, long time ago. Catfish, what do you think of the new event? What do you think of them bringing in this temporary resource to kind of boost this second rewards track, and then kind of to tie it together? Do you think that this is any type of, so recently they upped the gold pass price, do you think this is just a fun event, or do you think this is a precursor to kind of seeing if something like this, if it's getting enough hype, that they could maybe do a platinum or diamond pass?
That ever listened to my podcast knows I loved the events, any of them. I don't care what the reward was. It was free stuff. So why not do it? And this mm-hmm. one for a free event is, it's fantastic. All of the different rewards. This, I actually, for the first time ever, for the first time since returning, have a little bit of a builder boost and a little bit of a reduction in cost. I'm like, well, let's go. Like, walls are like 5% cheaper for me now. Awesome. That's, mm-hmm. 5% of 8 million. Good grief. But this one is cool. Like, they've got so many different rewards in there, and getting that Sour Elixir, as long as people aren't being idiots about it, is pretty easy, because mm-hmm. it's not like people can steal your Sour Elixir. So just, I stuck it on the outside, right? Go for it. Yep. Have fun. Take whatever you want. And on one of my accounts, I think it was my Town Hall 11, I logged out of it and had those two things sitting on the outside. And I came back in, and I had been promoted two leagues because people were just hitting the storages for the Sour Elixir and dipping. And I was like, "What? Oh, great. Now I've got to drop leagues because I got to get down to where I can actually find stuff again." Mm-hmm. So it's cool that it's this... It's a resource we're all trying to get, but it's not like you're stealing from your buddy. So I can leave it out and not worry about it. So it's this different, this cool, different dynamic. All of the rewards have been pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. The new troops are, maybe a tad bit unbalanced. Maybe a tad bit. If we had our first war, and we spun a 30v30 or 40v40 in mixed town hall. Mm-hmm. And I told all the 15s, like, guys, don't attack yet. Wait, go in and unlock the stupid lava loons. Mm-hmm. Don't attack until you get those lava loons. And I'm watching, like, the enemies are hitting in their one star and in zero star on our town hall 15s. And I've got guys that are hitting. And I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. You have those. I know you have those unlocked. What are you doing? Just zap out the stinking ADs. Mm-hmm. Maybe hero charge of the third one and go to town. It's easy triples. And that's how when people actually read the clan mails or the announcements in Discord, and it's basically nobody. But they're totally broken, but it's fun for a group of people being the not pro scene in Town Hall 15, mm-hmm. who maybe have been struggling to triple. It's a little bit of a confidence boost, and it's getting back to being a little fun. We're all going to hate it when it ends, mm-hmm. but who cares? It's fun. It's free loot. It's free things. Mm-hmm. If you If you want a free skin and you don't spend any of those medals in the free track, you can get yourself a free skin. Mm-hmm. Cool. If you spend a couple extra medals, you're not going to be able to afford it. But, you know, there's some neat things that are available. As far as what comes for the future, I hope it's not a foreshadowing of that gold versus, what are they calling it in Clash Royale, diamond. I hope it's not that. But if it is, oh well, it was a fun time that we got to test this thing out. If they bring some of these tracks in, it would be neat for them to do between when the main village gets updates, right? Because we go a long period of time where we don't really have anything full in the main village. So it could be cool before the main village update to help people get caught up to have these things. But yeah, I've been having fun with it. That's all I know.
Yeah, no, I think it's been great. And I feel like this format has a lot of room to grow, right? Like when they first had the, you know, kind of like the base challenges, like, you know, Itzu designed this like funky base and then you had to attack it. Like the first few were like super fresh and everyone was hyped for it. So I feel like if nothing else, if they wanted to continue this trend, they could do, you know, a holiday Christmas Eve themed one. They could do, you know, later on down the line, and they can buy themselves a lot of free content there as they try to figure out, you know, maybe long-term solutions. So I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Wu? I feel like this has a lot of room to grow, and that everyone's... And I think because Town Hall 15 is so hard, I think everyone loves the seasonal troops too. I think across the board, everyone is loving it.
Yeah. I mean, Carl, you and I have talked about this. I have been a long advocate of just breaking the game. Like, you know, and especially with so many people's frustration right now with the hit rate at Town Hall 15, if somebody's complaining that the troops are broken, I don't want to freaking hear it. A week ago, everybody was complaining that we couldn't triple, and now you're saying, oh, this is broken. Yes, there's a lot of people that are frustrated, and they're trying to get people, like Catfish said, like people are having fun. People are getting a little bit of a confidence boost. Like, I think a broken game sometimes is fun, and this is the perfect way to do it, where this is temporary, okay? Like, we all know we're going to farm up this. We're going to get some free benefits from it. We're going to have these completely busted troops. And yeah, you know, you can catch up. I haven't gotten the gold pass on the mini account, the Bone Crusher account, in months and months. And this month, I said, I'm going to farm this account, so I'm going to go ahead and get the gold pass. I did not know this event was coming, because I only get my news from gas station pumps, the little screen on there, that Cheddar News, you know, that's the only place I get the news from. Right. So I didn't know this was coming, and I'm like, I could not have picked a perfect, because now those like boosts are like stacked on top of each other, and I am farming like crazy, and I've done more upgrades on that account in a month than I've been able to do the last 4 months. So the troops are awesome. They can literally mash any two troops together, and I'll be like, that's awesome. That's like the coolest thing ever. So they can just keep on mashing troops together. And as far as what does the future hold, I would love it if they did a seasonal event like this, where like once every 3 months, you know, we're going to have an event just like this. And will it be monetized? Sadly, I think it probably will be. I think Supercell is, they're like a pusher. They're just giving us a little taste of that sour elixir for free, but the next one's going to cost you. I think that's where it's going. And whether it's, you know, I think the floor here is probably like $2. And or maybe it might be $2 on top of the gold pass, something like that. Buy the gold pass and then unlock the, you know, the sour elixir, the next level for another $2 or something like that. Like, I can see it rounding out about $10 a month total if you were to unlock everything. So I could see it going in that direction. It would be nice if they didn't, though. I mean, it would be nice if just free-to-play players could have this little extra bonus once every 3 months. I think that would be perfectly acceptable as well. If they didn't do it every single month, I think that's acceptable. Or maybe, you know, maybe offer it instead of the gold pass for $2 or something. I don't know. But I it's hard for me, as being a cynic when it comes to this kind of stuff, especially big company stuff. It's hard for me to not see them finding a way to monetize it, especially, you know, once they get back the data of how many people participated in this and what the activity was like having something like this. Even if they go, look, if we can get a capture rate of 10, 20, 30% on this, I mean, we could, I don't know, buy someone in China a new mansion or something. I don't know. They'll figure it out. They'll figure out how to spend our money.
All right, real quick before shout-outs and shout-outs. Catfish, I think I saw you on the Pod Wars stream. I think you threw Big B a follow. Did you happen to catch any of the Pod Wars?
About 5 minutes. And that's why I wasn't able to participate. I was really a little bit busy on that Saturday. I had two cars that needed some work done and trying to track down parts for that. And then my mom, I haven't seen in a long time. She came over from Tennessee and set up the camping trailer at the campground. So we went and spent some time with her and took the kayaks out and enjoyed some time with my mama. So that was a little important. So yeah, I caught just a couple minutes in when I had a little break and wanted at least to drop in and give a follow since I don't think I've actually caught Big B on stream before, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's usually CF9 and he's in there, Big B's in there, you know, chasing his clout and riding his coattails, right? Which Woo and I know all about that.
Yeah, that's the name of the game around here. Right? Oh, and listen, if you only had 5 minutes to spend on that, stream, you did the best thing you could possibly do. Come in and do something that made noise, because that was part of the theme, which is seeing Big B having to slowly take the headphones off and perch them on his head because he was getting completely blown out. His brains were getting turned to jello from his own notifications.
Yeah.
You know, the whole theme was they were going to troll everybody, and well, you know, Big B definitely, you know, got the short end of the stick on the trolling when chat got a hold of the sound notification. So that was fun. Every single person doing that. And then you came in and did it too. Like, yeah, that was great.
So we'll do a proper recap. We have CF9 and Big B coming on for a Halloween special. So we'll be talking about the Pod Wars there. We got the man, the myth, the legend.
When's that going to be, Carl? And follow-up question, are you sure?
It will be released in Halloween time, and yes, I'm sure, and we'll make it happen one or the
other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my credibility is pretty low right now at this point, so. Which week? I don't know. This week? That week? I'm nervous because I feel like Catfish has been storing ammunition in the barrel of his gun for quite a while, but we're going to do shout-outs and shade-outs. Guess first. We got shout outs first. Catfish, what do you got for shout outs?
Let me shout out Big B for having one of the most epic podcast segments ever with the 10 shade manments that I don't know how anybody ever will live up to that. It's literally one of my favorite memories. I should have mentioned that as one of my favorite memories of C2J.
Yeah.
But yeah, that segment, awesome. Let me shout out the guy who his co-host gets shouted out quite a bit, but I'm going to shout out Fado from Pineapples and Thorns. Mm-hmm. A couple episodes ago, he talked about, you know, his work stuff and being a product owner. And anybody that's in software development knows what that is. I too am a product owner. I'm in the middle of doing a hybrid program iteration planning at the moment as the product owner and have half the team here and half the team on the other side of the country. And it's a pain in the butt. So anybody that's had to deal with that for as long as Fado has, shout out to him. Let me say my OG buddies that have been around since we've been doing listening to podcasts, but Knob and Green Arrow have been guys, two names that I've seen everywhere from back on the Facebook group that COTP used to have, seeing those two guys, at least Green Arrow, and to Tribe Judah, Proverbs 31, love those guys, been hanging out with them forever. Let me shout out any new listeners who are listening for the first time. This is by far the worst episode of this podcast. So go back and listen to any of the previous ones. It's awesome. Literally, guys, you don't know what you've been missing.
Oh, we've got the numbers. Episode 69 with Wizard of Woo is the worst episode ever. Carl's already told me.
And then, so, all right, we're going to shout out Woo for finding the humor in everything, man. I mean, there's
that was our first interaction, Catfish. That was our first interaction.
That
I had to set the tone.
I'm socially awkward like that. So yeah, my DMs with Woo, I got to looking back at one point and was like, really, man, I was such a doofus. But anyway,
it's all good.
And Carl, your top five last week was fire, dude. It was almost the same as mine, except I'm not a fan of champagne, but the whole, you talked about a smoked turkey recipe long time ago, and I was wondering if you were reading my notebook, because it's almost the same. It's scary. Cranberry sauce does not come in a can. You and I have some similar tastes on a lot of stuff, so thanks for having me and having a fire top five list. And then lastly, let me shout out Clash Fan 9 for being a hockey fan when it's not necessarily the most popular sport. I love it. Shout out to you, brother.
And this is why you watch the live, because Big B is beside himself in the football versus hockey debate.
I'm watching the live. I got to get over here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, Wizard Woo backed me up on this, but it's been a while now that we do our top fives. Catfish posts his top five, and his is so much better than ours that we immediately get flack for, like, Catfish is way better than this.
Oh, absolutely. The messages start flying. It's like, you guys are so low effort. Like, I can't believe you missed that. The Rick list, the phrase, the catchphrases. We got so much crap for that, 100%. And you know, honestly, well deserved. So can't hate him on that.
What do you got for shout outs? Woo.
All right, shout out. Well, obviously, shout out to Catfish for coming on. I know we've kicked this idea around for a while, and you know, there have been some logistical issues here and there. I think at one point all of us have been to blame at some point. To be fair, maybe some worse than others, but yeah, it's been in the making for a while, and I'm glad it's finally happening. And obviously, Hero would be extremely happy to see this. So, you know, hopefully, he's looking down and smiling today. Shout out to Big B and CF9 for the Pod Wars. I started watching as soon as this popped off. I was in there maybe within the first 20 minutes or so, and I watched as long as I possibly could. Obviously, I had a commitment with my family. We were doing a get together that night, so I couldn't finish the whole thing, but I will end up watching everything. And dude, the concept was fantastic. It was a great idea. I think it was amazing content. There were times where I was laughing so hard my face hurt. I know usually my face is hurting you guys, but at that point my face was hurting me, and I was crying. I mean, I was literally crying from laughing so hard. So it was awesome. And yeah, you guys are troopers sitting there for that long and dealing with everybody and all the logistics and stuff. That was great. Big shout out to FTB C2J. I don't know if you guys heard at the gas pump, but we had a big win against, a world championship, nearly qualifier team against No Limit just yesterday. So there was quite the group hanging out in voice chat for that. And, like I said before the podcast, something, something, dog's rear end and sunshine. I don't know. It comes together. Sometimes these things align. But shout out to FTB CTJ for that win. That was a lot of fun. They're always fun, but obviously it's a little bit more fun when you win. Shout out to our friend Magic. So we're doing CWL signups right now in the Crystal to Join Discord server. And you guys know, huge shout out to E, because our friend E has run that spreadsheet. I mean, Carl, it was crazy to think about. For years, he's been running this spreadsheet for C2J. And he's taking a break. He's getting that work-life balance and, video game balance down. And so along comes the Magic Bot, and Carl's playing with the toys. Carl sends me a message. He goes, hey, why don't you try to sign up for C2J or for CWL using this bot? And I'm like, okay, I'm nearly illiterate when it comes to these things. And I felt like this was almost like a litmus test. Like, Carl was like, if you need help, grandma, I'll come over and label you remote for you. Okay.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I jumped in, I read the instructions, bam, 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 linked the accounts, joined. I'm like, and I messaged Carl back. I'm like, dude, this is freaking awesome. Like, that was the easiest sign up ever. So yeah, shout out to Magic for that, dude. The amount of work that's gone into that to make our lives easier is crazy. And I know a lot of other people probably feel the same way. There was a little bit of happenings in the C2J Discord this past week, and we're going to get to that in shadeouts, of course. But one of the big things that happened was shout out to CF9 for his new role in the server as the Banhammer Appeal Czar. He has been officially named. If you've got a Banhammer, If you caught a banhammer in the C2J server, CF9 is your judge, jury, and executioner for you to come back. He is the man to appeal to. So shout out to CF9 for getting the appeal czar title. Carl, good luck with that. What do you got for shout outs, buddy?
I'm going to echo everything that, you know, has been said here. Obviously, Catfish, amazing to have him on the pod. Super great. Big B and CF9 for the Pod Wars. I wasn't on the squad, thank goodness, because I probably would have threw it for the team. But, I mean, FTB, C2J, I mean, this is a team, you know, that was very, very razor close to getting a golden ticket. And just the fact that we could miraculously pull, it was a Cinderella story for the ages, even more so than that thing that Catfish was talking about against, you know, Carl's
Reach. Trap game, baby, trap game.
Then signing up for CWL with the bot. I mean, how spoiled are we that, like, literally the developer of this bot that is so good, it got a creator code, is in our clan and set up the bot for us?
Yeah.
Like, so spoiled. So crazy. Huge shout out to Magic. And then the best idea I've ever had in my entire life, putting CF9 in charge of all the bans and ban appeals and unbanning. It's just a stress I don't need in my life, and it's a stress that he does need in his life. You know, it's caused me so much pain and suffering over the years. The fact that I get to relinquish this responsibility to CF9 is just literally might be the best idea I've ever had. So, okie dokie, shade outs. Catfish, what you got for shade outs?
I did shade outs on a podcast. They created some drama. I think Historian might have taken something a little too seriously.
No.
not Historian.
My first shade out goes to anybody that takes the shade out segment a little bit too seriously. Come on, man. It's all for fun. We're having fun here. And, you know,
don't eat the onion?
Oh, no. Is that what it is?
That's what I call it. Yeah, some people get it, some people don't. It's okay.
Oh my gosh.
So my first shade out has to go to Steve. Did I say that right, Big B? Steve. for shading out Big B in my favorite podcast segment ever. I mean, come on, bro. He had literally the 10 Shade Mandments, and you have the audacity to spend 5 minutes of Carl's precious podcast whining about how all Big B does is whine? Pot kettle much? Jeez. And then shade out to Steve for shading out Rick. Who shades out Rick? Come on, Rick is OP. And he tried to shade out Rick as a clout chaser. And come on, clout chasers are where it's at. I started my podcast, you know, because I was doing it on, you know, the heels of Tribe of Judah and Proverbs 31. He tried to shade me out. I don't know if anybody caught that. I heard you, Steve. I listen and I pay attention. He tried to shade me out in that same sentence because he said something about, oh, he's a clout chaser. This talk about Rick being a clout chaser, being with trample damage. The only thing that would be better or cooler is if he was in Knights of Zion. Come on, bro. I heard that. We are awesome and we are cooler than you. So get over it. Yep. Jeez. So on the heels of shading out people that shade out Rick, I would like to shade out Rick. He got banned and he's not here, and I'm very sad about that. Yeah. So Rick,
rip the dream.
Come on. Yep. Right? I would like to shade out Liam for not listening to anything unless it has his name directly attached to it. Because he heard that he got called, that he got a shout out, but didn't actually know who it was. And then had the audacity to suggest that C2J should probably, you know, do introductions at the beginning of every episode. So you might want to consider doing that, Carl. Doing an intro. Yeah. You know.
It sounds like Liam's got Google alerts on his name or something. You know,
probably, like that. Probably does. And then to quote a fantastic podcaster, shade out to Green Arrow, where are you? And then lastly, I'm also going to shade out Rick just because I think he's not a terribly good podcast host. That might...
Oh my God.
If he were here, that would make so much more sense, but it doesn't. So my last shade out goes to CF9 for having the absolute worst taste in hockey clubs.
he pulled the Uno reverse on you, CF9.
Go Penguins.
Oh no! Oh my god!
Oh, he ripped his heart out.
Oh my gosh!
Amazing.
Oh my. Wizard Woo, dare I?
Oh yeah.
All right, go for it.
You dare. Yeah. You dare every week, and it's up to you to delete it. all right. Shade out. I got to. This is almost a shout out, but honestly, it's a shade. It's a shade out because the Clash Illuminati. We finally rid ourselves of the Clash Illuminati. Okay, mm-hmm. Server bans. You know, apparently there was some scientific experimentation going on in the mm-hmm. server this week. Yeah. Well, let's just say Rick is officially the Madame Curie of Clash of Clans because he's dead from his own experiment. I'm so that did not work out very well. So shade out to the Illuminati for disappearing, and then. I still have to shade out Fatal for no voice chat on the Pod Wars. Dude, mm-hmm. there were people on voice that sounded like the only time they'd ever been on voice was when they were planning war hits. Like Big B and CF9 truly caught these people off guard. Okay. They really did not know how to act when they were getting thrown as much crap as they were getting thrown. So, and it's like, okay, these people are actually uncomfortable. That's great content. I'm dying laughing. Mm-hmm. And then there were people that jumped on video that I wasn't expecting to get on video. I mean, we saw Trample Damage's dog, for God's sake, people. I mean, Trample Damage had his dog on live. This man was driving around Las Vegas with his dog in the passenger seat, live videoing on the Pod Wars. Yeah. And Fatal can't even get in voice? Oof. I mean, this is a huge L. This is ridiculous. So, next Pod Wars, because I know there has to be another one. This event was so much fun. I know they're going to have mm-hmm. to do another one.
Yeah.
They won't be able to stay away. Next Pod Wars, I say I'm boycotting. If Fable is invited and he doesn't have to be on voice, yeah. I'm boycotting Pod Wars. That's what's going to happen. So, Fatal, huge shade to you for not jumping on voice. Unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Carl. Bring us home. Bring us home with Shade Out, Carl.
Oh, my God. I must say that just recently that I honestly don't have anything. I can't even manufacture Shade Outs. Everything has been going.
Too positive.
For Peter's sake, Catfish is on the episode being more C2J than we are. Like, that's the point of my life that I'm at right now, where Catfish is out C2J-ing me, and there's nothing I can do about it. I just have to wave the white flag. I just can't right now. I mean, if I had to come up with something, allegedly during the Pod Wars, somebody might have hit the exact same base that I cracked, and then I posted it in chat, and they're like, what? What? And then didn't copy my attack, so... huge rip to that person. Anyway, I really don't have any real shade outs. So, you boys ready for a little After Dark?
Let's go.
Welcome back to Clash After Dark. So, as we teased last episode, we have a top five near and dear to my heart. We're talking top five Seinfeld episodes. Let's count them down. Catfish, what you got for five?
No, I'm kind of sad that I suggested this for a top five list because there's just far too many to whittle down to mm-hmm. five. But I'm going to go with the episode called The Cartoon, and it is where George's girlfriend, Janet, looked just like Jerry. It was one that stood out to me as being hilarious, and the fact that George really was just in love with Jerry. Not that there's anything wrong with that the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a funny one.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, what you got for five? Yeah.
All right. Number five for me, this feels a little too close to real life, is the Merv Griffin Show episode. Where Kramer finds the old Merv Griffin Show set in a dumpster, and he sets it up in his apartment, and then he treats all of his friends like guests on a show. Okay, yeah, interview them all, and then eventually he gets Newman as a co-host, and people are like, "What's he doing here?" And he's like, "He takes a little pressure off me." All right, and then the format gets stale, and he switches it up to where it's just all about drama, and he reveals Jerry's secrets to his girlfriend, and then there's a squirrel and a falcon attack from a like a animal handler. So yeah, that's my number five, the Merv Griffin Show with Kramer. Carl. Oh,
it's a great one.
It's with five.
My number five is an episode called The Opposite. It's when George makes all of his life decisions in the exact opposite way that he normally would. Which is pretty funny because things start going well for him. And then Elaine also basically becomes George. Like he starts dressing, or she like dresses like George, and she has this epiphany that like, oh, I've become George. And to top it off, this was the episode where Kramer has coffee table book that turns into a coffee table, which is just, you know, the crowning jewel on that episode. That's my five. Catfish, what you got for four?
I need to get me one of those.
Yeah, he goes on Regis and Kathy Lee, doesn't he?
I think that's right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So I need to switch that up. No. My number four, and I think this, I don't know if this is near and dear to Carl's heart or not. I saw that he put his top five in, but I tried not to look at it. So if we end up having something similar, I don't know. But my number four is the Bizarro Jerry, where there's like the guy that's Jerry but not, and he says that, oh, it's like the Bizarro Superman. And the fact that you know, I see this, is Carl, has anybody actually seen Carl and Jerry Seinfeld in the same room at the same time? Because like the whole Superman thing, I'm like, there's a lot of affinity going on there. And the fact that he's got, it's not every episode, but there's a Superman in just about every episode. And in that one, he's got the statue right on the bookcase. You know, to the left of the door.
Yeah.
And then Bizarro Jerry, what was his name? Kevin. Yeah, it was Kevin, Gene, and Feldman that were Jerry, George, and Kramer. He's got a statue of Bizarro Superman on the right side of his door, which is just, it was brilliantly written. The little Easter eggs that got put in the background were so spot on. And I loved it. And then turns out later on, that guy Kevin that played Bizarro Jerry ended up being on another one of my favorite TV shows, because I was a fan of USA Network TV shows, and he played the FBI agent on White Collar. So it was weird seeing this guy that eventually gets to end up marrying Tiffany Amber Thiessen on TV is, you know, dating Elaine. He stepped up. I got to tell you that.
Oh my God. Shane Outs was over. I thought.
Yeah.
See, I don't get that. I just don't get that, how that works. Sorry, guys.
No. I'm with you.
All right, what you got, Woo?
Okay, number four for me, I'm going with an episode called The Millennium. And this is where George is offered the job as the head scout for the New York Mets. But the caveat is he has to get fired from the Yankees. And so the whole episode is George doing everything in his power to get fired, and everything backfires, and it makes him look better. And Steinbrenner's like, this is what we needed. We need people like you to call us out and tell us this, tell us that. And then the big payoff is, he tells a bunch of people off, and then another guy comes in and claims credit for it right as George is about to get fired, and Steinbrenner fires the other guy, and the other guy reveals, don't worry, I'll be fine. I'm going to be the new scout for the New York Mets. So, it's a classic George story arc where everything backfires and it has a great payoff. So that's my number four. Carl, what you got for
him?
Four?
Eating strawberries and going all over Babe Ruth's uniform.
He like Babe Ruth had girl legs, or he was a drunk with girl legs or something. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. My number four is the boyfriend. It's the Keith Hernandez episode where it's a great episode that kind of talks about like intimacy and relationships both ways. And you know, I still use the when you ask people to help you move, like that's like a major commitment in life. It has that kind of bit into it. There's a lot of baseball stuff in Seinfeld, so obviously has, you know, an IRL player in it. And then just by itself, the Magic Loogie story that they tell and that gets debunked by Jerry and the whole thing is just amazing. So that's why it makes my number four, basically just for the Magic Loogie part. And then the other part's pretty funny too, but that tops it off for me. So Catfish, three.
Before I get to three, I gotta take a C note and crack open a beverage because these pretzels are making thirsty. Number three. Number three to me, and this, like, every episode, right, has some moment, and then there's those episodes that have just more than one, right, that stand out. So it's the episode, not the bit. It's the episode called The Hamptons, where they're, you know, they're staying at a place in the Hamptons. And I think the second part of this is whatever, I see that face that Woo's making. He knows where we're going with it. But it has two bits in it that are
I've used
hilarious.
This line on my wife, so go ahead.
The first bit is about the ugly baby, right? Because everybody says, oh, cute babies. I'm like, that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen. And my wife and I still talk about that one. And then the second one, you know, I was in the pool.
There was shrinkage.
That actually made it into the dictionary because of George. How many phrases and words made it into the dictionary because of Seinfeld? But yeah, the shrinkage. That's number three.
That's a good one. That's a really amazing. Good one.
Yeah. Okay, number three for me is the episode called "The Marine Biologist," and this is one of those. You know, episodes where the A storyline and the B storyline come together and have a completely perfect crossover payoff. And what happens is Jerry bumps into an old this girl that is an old college friend of he and George's, and she asks how George is doing, and he does George a solid and lies for him and says, oh, yeah, you know, he's doing great. He's a marine biologist, and she's impressed by this. So they end up setting up George on a date with this girl. And that's the A storyline is George dating. The B storyline is Kramer and his obsession with golf. So he gets a bunch of golf balls from a golf course and decides he's going to take up golf. He goes out to Rockaway Beach to hit a bunch of golf balls, and he realizes that he's terrible at golf. So he gives it up. But he did get one good shot way out there into the ocean. So later in the episode, George is on a date with this girl, and he's walking on the beach, and lo and behold, there's a beached whale that's struggling, and someone asks, is there no marine biologist around? And of course, he has to go do it because he's convinced this woman he's a marine biologist. So he goes out, wades out to this whale, and the way that he tells the story at the end of the episode, while they're all sitting at the diner, and then he goes, I reached into the blowhole and pulled out the obstruction, and he just reveals the golf ball, and Kramer goes, is that a Titleist? And he says, you know, he just kind of nods. Yeah. And Kramer says, hole in one. It's like the perfect A and B payoff. It's so good. Oh, so that's my three, the marine biologist.
Legendary episode.
Carl.
My number three.
Yeah, for sure.
My number three is the Soup Nazi. It's probably the most well-known, if not close to the most well-known episode. Everyone kind of knows it. It's got to make my list. It's a legendary episode for Seinfeld. Soup Nazi number three for me. What you got, Catfish?
On the heels of that one, I think another that stands out that everybody knows is Festivus. I mean, Jerry Stiller was one of the best parts of Seinfeld. He played the same character on King of Queens, but who cares? You know, it was such a brilliant thing. And everything that goes on in that episode, it's another one where George has got his thing going on and setting up the human fund. I literally did that at work 1 year. Everybody was putting up their decorations, and we had tons of Christmas decorations, and somebody putting up Hanukkah stuff, and somebody with Kwanzaa, whatever. And I literally put up a Festivus pole and put a donation box up for the human fund, money for people. But the whole Festivus thing with you know, his dad going through the airing of grievances and the feats of strength that. I still will quote that, and anytime we have a family gathering, sometimes I'll break that out, that it's time for the feats of strength, and everybody looks at me like I'm weird because I'm the only Seinfeld fan, but you know what? I don't care. I just don't care.
That's great.
Oh my gosh, no.
What you got, Carl? Or is it Woo? Sorry. See, I try to do this, I'm just not good at this.
No, you're good. You're used to just talking to yourself in the car. It's all good.
Shut up, Sparky.
Exactly. Reveal here. I didn't see anybody's list, but my number two is exactly your number two. That episode is called The Strike, where Festivus is introduced. The way it's introduced is great. Jerry just drops a very mild in front of Kramer. And Kramer starts going on, what is this about? George is like, no, don't get him started. He brings it up to George's dad, and then, you know, Festivus is on. And, the story there with with George where he, you know, his boss has like caught him in a lie, and then he has to cover by bringing his boss to Festivus after his dad like played the tape at the diner, and like mom and dad screaming, and George is like grabbing his head. He's like, I can't go through this again. But then he has to do it because of his boss. And then one of the great lines from that episode is they're all sitting there with the boss around the table, and George's dad is like, all right, it's time for the feats of strength. And George is arguing with him. He's like, no, Festivus is not over until you pin me. that's one of my favorite lines. It's not over until you pin me. So that's my number two. Mm-hmm. Carl, what you got?
My number two is called The Hot Tub, and it's the episode where Elaine is hosting a marathon runner, Jean-Paul, who missed. He's super good. He's like going to try to win this marathon. He missed the previous one, so they definitely can't. You know, they need to do a whole bunch of different alarm clocks and different things to make sure that they get up. They have Kramer set his mental alarm, if you remember the mental alarm. There's some shenanigans about, you know, not being good enough, so they have to move his location. And all Jean-Paul wants to do is get to sleep. And then they do a hotel wake-up call. They do all these things to make sure that he gets to the race. And they ended up going back to Jerry's house in a controlled environment. And Kramer's like really into this hot tub thing, so he gets this like a kajillion million BTU heat pump for his hot tub that ends up blowing the breakers and tripping, you getting all the power off on the building. And then he's late for the race. It's just like a really funny episode, like you say. It's like Seinfeld does a good job like tying all the plots together for this like big payoff at the end, and it was really fun to see all that come together. And you know, there's not, I still like, Catfish is talking about, like, he mentions random Seinfeld references. Anytime somebody's late, yeah. I'm always like, mix up AM, PM, right? I don't have any idea what I'm saying. So Catfish and I are very similar in that way, where nobody gets our references, but we think it's funny, so it's fine. So, I guess we're on the big magical number ones. Take us home.
You got it.
So number one is near and dear to me because it's something that, unlike Jerry, I was actually able to pull off. So the episode, and now before I go into this, the episode involves a plan, and it's one of George's cockamamie plans. It sounds like it's going to work, but it doesn't work out for Jerry the way that he wanted. I didn't use George's plan, which is how I was able to pull it off. But the episode is The Switch. And I say that I pulled it off because when I was in high school, I was dating this girl. We had been friends. There was a group of three or four of us that had been friends for a long time. And this girl and I, we tried dating for a little bit. Didn't necessarily work out. But when we broke up, she kind of pointed me in the direction of her best friend, who just happens to be my wife of almost 25 years now. So they weren't roommates, but they were best friends. And I think I got the better end of the deal on that one. My best friend ended up dating the girl that I broke up with. That definitely didn't work out. So he failed at the switch. I pulled off the switch, guys. It can be done. Not the way that George thought that Jerry was going to be able to do it, but that was, that's why it's number one to me. I referenced that with some of my friends about, yep, still pulled off the switch. And by the way, that girl and her husband, who her husband was friends with my wife when they were in elementary school, but they still come to our place every year and visits. We're all good friends still. So it's weird that I was able to do it, but that is why it's number one. But we talk about episodes that have more than one thing, you know, the A arc, the B arc. Mm-hmm. What else happened in the episode, The Switch? We learned about Cosmo. That's where Kramer's first name finally got revealed. So that episode stands out to me as number one. What you got? Whoever's awesome. Next? I can't remember what's going on. I just pulled a Carl.
Yeah, right. No, number one for me is the contest. I reference this episode all the time. George's mom catches him during his alone time. And, you know, and he swears off that he's never going to do that to himself again because it was so traumatic. And then, it goes into a little friendly wager. Next thing you know, temptation is just across the alleyway when there's a young lady who can't help but be seen without any clothes on. And they're just oogling and ogling. And, you know, Kramer makes a very kind of a, Let's just call it a out of character silent exit from Jerry's apartment. And as they're all still looking across the alleyway, he comes in, slams his money down on the counter and says, "I'm out." It's one of the best lines in the whole show. And the storyline's fantastic. It also, George's mom is great in that episode too, when she's in the hospital and saying, it's 3 p.m. Don't you have anything better to do? I go out to get a quart of milk and I come home finding my son abusing his or treating his body like an amusement park or something like that.
Yeah.
That's another great line. So those are lines that I still like to reference and use. When somebody's like, "I bet you can't," it's like, "I'm not even trying. I just slap the table and go, I'm out. Like, I'm not getting involved in this." That's my number one, the contest. Carl, bring it home.
My number one is the Kenny Rogers Roaster episode. A chicken place moves in next door. It's got this huge red neon sign that's blaring into Cosmo Kramer's apartment. And then they have to end up switching apartments because Kramer can't sleep, can't do anything. So Jerry's over there in, quote unquote, the Red Menace and starts acting like Kramer. It's just like such a funny story arc. And it's funny. It's kind of fun for me to see them kind of try to play like each other's different roles. And then obviously there's a whole bunch of other shenanigans and just so many classic lines like, "My rods and cones are all screwed up," talking about their eyes when Kramer.
Their eyes.
Yeah, Kramer. Kramer, I can't remember what he drinks, but he thinks it's milk and it's clearly not milk. And he's like, I thought that was milk. My rods and cones are all screwed up. And then, Jerry flying in there and he's like, "I got to talking to Bob Sacramento at like 2 a.m. the other day." Just like all those different classic things. It's probably my favorite episode. I'm going to chalk that up as my number one. I'm sure that people are going to, there's so many Seinfeld episodes. I'm sure that people are going to hit us up with a whole bunch of other great ones. But this was super fun to do it with another Seinfeld aficionado like Mr. Catfish. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, Catfish, this has been a real treat. I know we've kept you for 2+ hours doing this, but it meant a lot to us. And I know that the whole C2J community has been looking forward to this episode. And we really appreciate you having you around in the Surfer and your hot takes and some of the humor that you bring. And we really appreciate it. And thanks again for coming on.
It's definitely been a pleasure. We've had our, roller coaster ride of things. And I'm glad that it went that way. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Awesome.
Amen to that.
Say bye to the peeps.
Well, guys, on behalf of Bizarro Jerry and Van Nordstrom, I'm Art Vandelay. Deuces.
Deuces.